The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Start spreading. Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I am here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with Dr. Herb Slavin, and for the next hour, we have all manner of natural approaches that you can use every single day to enhance your well-being, improve your good health. And when you buy all of these natural substances at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, you save a lot of your money. I just spoke yesterday with a young woman who had been shopping at two very well-known competitors, and her eyes were so wide open when she saw the prices for the very same name brand products. And she was just astonished at the money that she would save. And so she was saying, when she would walk out of the other places and having spent $50, she had two items. When she's walking out of Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, having spent just a little over $50, $55, she had five items. So amazing, amazing, amazing what you can do for your good health shopping at Save-A-Lot. And so I need to say good morning to Dr. Herb Slavin. Hi, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
And I know that you have certain things on your mind to share with our listeners, but do we want to talk about a drug recall? I think it's important to let people know.
We can mention it. Losartan is the drug in question, but there are other drugs in that category that experienced the same contamination. The contamination with a component of rocket fuel.
Ooh!
And the reason they're concerned is that it is a carcinogen. So, so Losartan used for high blood pressure, you have to ask your physician if you're taking that. What's a good substitute for it?
Okay, might the generic version, having been manufactured in a different facility, not be of concern? Because I speak to so many people, and they are taking the generic version of Losartan. So I think it's the specific brand name and a very specific contaminant.
It might be, but they're not clear in the report. They don't make a distinction to say it's just the brand of Losartan versus all the generics that are out there.
Right. It's very interesting because what they're saying with this report, Losartan is being recalled, and it's being recalled because of a contaminant. The contaminant, as Dr. Slavin said, is a substance, rocket fuel, and they go on to say in the recall announcement that it is a cancer-causing substance and that rocket fuel, traces of rocket fuel have been found not only in this pharmaceutical but in water. Right. So any water being used in the manufacture of this product being contaminated.
The brand name is Kozar.
Right.
So, and Losartan is the generic name, and when they say Losartan, that would apply to everybody, even though it might be manufactured at many different locations.
Facilities, right.
So,
Okay. So the best advice is speak to the pharmacist and pharmacy where you filled your prescription to see if it is among those prescription drugs that have been found to be contaminated and are on the recall list. So speak to your physician. Okay, so I have a little bit of information with regard to the risks of high blood pressure, but what about the risks associated with using blood pressure medication? What are some of the negatives that people need to be concerned about? I would think that some of the blood pressure medications would be prescribed to protect the kidneys, because kidneys are vulnerable when your blood pressure is high. Okay, so some of the blood pressure...
Every organ in the body is vulnerable.
Okay, there you go. Priorities, though. And so I'm thinking that some of the... What I've read in the PDR, some of the blood pressure medications actually create a risk for kidney function. How big a risk is that?
I haven't seen that much. I mean, some blood pressures, particularly the diuretics, will have an effect on kidney function. But when you're on any medication, you know, antihypertensives, but any medication, you should be monitored by your physician on a regular basis.
How regular a basis?
I would say at a minimum every 3 months, if everything is going along fine.
Okay, every 3 months.
And I'll tell you why. Because as we spoke about the contamination of the drug, well, how do you know that the batch of drug you're taking is working the way it should? The only way you know is, you know, have your, if we're talking about blood pressure, have your blood pressure checked, but have your lab work done. Make sure it's not causing any other unexpected problems. You just don't know.
Okay, so if someone is being put on a new blood pressure medication, do you think that each week they should have the doctor's office or a walk-in clinic or some place monitor their response to the blood pressure?
Definitely. If you're just being placed on a medication, you don't wait a month or two, a week. And if it's really high, you should be in a hospital for closer observation if it's really high. It's just borderline high, then you check it in, depending how high it is, in a couple of days, but certainly within the week.
Okay, now one of the things that I talk to people about is they can use a little bit of garlic. Kyolic has a garlic blood pressure formula. That's excellent. And that garlic is going to make circulation a little more easier. And that's going to be not a negative interference at all, but just a bolster, so to speak, for the blood pressure medication.
People are allowed to check their own blood pressure, too.
Okay, but in order to get a correct reading, have your blood pressure at your at-home blood pressure machine calibrated with your doctor's office. Is
right.
that a,
yeah, when
a recommendation?
Yeah, when you go in, you know, bring yours with you and make sure it's close to what he's finding. But to the point you're making, if you're a little bit higher than, say, the 120 over 80, that's the time to start using some of these natural products to see if you can bring it down. You mentioned the garlic. You know, magnesium deficiency is very common and associated with high blood pressure, so you want to do that before it gets out of control. One of the causes of high blood pressure is an elevated insulin level. So have your doctor check your insulin levels. If you're insulin resistant, you want to work on that.
Okay, so people who have been told that their A1C indicates that they're pre-diabetic, they would be wise to check their insulin levels and address that as well as addressing their blood pressure. And okay, so other than garlic and magnesium, fish oil, good recommendation
fish
for
fish oil, vitamin E. I mean, all the vitamin C in particular. And these are all important nutrients.
Okay.
You know, like we say, what's the most important nutrient? The one you're lacking.
I know. Yeah, yes, I know the answer to that one. Yes. Okay, so I know that you have on your mind a particular area to discuss today. And so we'll introduce that subject.
Well, you know, the topic of vaccinations presents itself in a lot of different ways. Just the other day, I was asked by a parent how they could get an exemption for the mandatory vaccines they're being told they need. My bias is against vaccines because I haven't seen the scientific data to actually convince me that vaccines not only work, but they're safe. And today some new reports came out backing up that problem of vaccine safety and efficacy and not having enough scientific data to make all the claims that are being made. And one of the, you have to start off with this understanding that the vaccine industry brings in close to $50 billion a year.
Did you say 50 billion?
Yeah.
Okay, now, what I'm stumbling over here is the idea that some places offer certain vaccines free of charge. Is that correct? Like flu vaccines sometimes? No?
Who gives it away?
I don't know. I was thinking that...
Pharmacies might use it as a, you know, get you to the store or something
okay,
like that.
Okay.
I don't know. Have you heard the name Paul Offit?
No,
He's a big proponent for the vaccine industry and vaccines in general and playing down the risks of vaccines. And he recently admitted, although I think it was in private,
so it was a hidden camera that recorded him?
He said that, first of all, 26 inoculations the first few years of life.
26! Outrageous! Absolutely outrageous. 26 vaccines given in those very, very first years of life. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back after these messages.
JanaJuice gives you the antioxidant protection that is so important to support the health of your cells. Two easy-to-swallow capsules help to minimize the damage for free radicals, energize on a cellular level, enhance your immune response, all with two capsules per day. Come into Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers and learn more. 3105 North State Road 7, Margate, a half mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Plaza. Come in today, 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655.
Save-A-Lot prices can't be beat. Come find New Chapter, Garden of Life, Mega Food, Kyolic, Quality of Life, Solgar, Nordic Naturals, Nature's Answer, Vibrant Health, Renew Life, Himalaya, Life Flow, Charo Formulas, so many different brands at unbelievable prices. Skincare, cosmetics, it's all here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. 754-307-1655. Come see us. Come see the fantastic inventory. 3105 North State Road 7, Margate. 754-307-1655. Welcome back. You are tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Zimmerelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking vaccines. And I'm going to say this time of the year, Dr. Slavin, the flu vaccine has been the one that is very highly touted. But I'm so concerned about that number, 26 inoculations in the first years of life. That seems to me a deadly assault on our babies' immune systems.
Well, here's what Dr. Offit had said in the past. In a 2002 interview, he said that an infant's immune system is capable of responding to 10,000 vaccines at once. In other words, he's lying about the safety of vaccines in order to sell vaccines.
Do we have any information about what his background is?
This is his background, vaccines. He's even made vaccines.
Okay, so he's been a manufacturer. Has he benefited financially from the sales and manufacture of vaccines? You know, it seems to me that you don't take such a strong stance with regard to vaccines. I would say there would be some sort of middle ground where you'd suggest caution, and then you'd suggest use the vaccine for certain people.
Well, recently in an interview, he changes his position and admits that vaccines are an act of violence. It's hard to do that, in other words, give as many as 20 inoculations in the first few years and as many as 5 shots at one time.
Wow, 5 at one time. It's hard to believe that science, so-called science, is behind such a situation.
And he goes on to say, the biological agent generally isn't understood well by the parent. But here's the real scary part, and to some extent not understood at all by the physician. In other words, they're giving substances to people, and they don't really have a clue as to what all the risks being taken are. And the science, there isn't real science out there to back up what they're doing. To paraphrase someone, fake science, because they can make up studies to suit whatever outcome they want. And here's a perfect example. You want to show that the flu vaccine, for example, is effective in the elderly population. All right, so you give the flu vaccine to a lot of elderly people, except that you only include healthy elderly people in your study.
So you have a particular outcome of the study in mind, and you create the study to achieve that outcome.
Well, just think of the results of that study could be the elderly that get the flu vaccine live longer.
Sounds like a very, right, very good reason to take a vaccine.
And they can say that, but you don't realize that they left the sick elderly out of the study. So right away you get a skewed result. And this is what they do with a lot of studies.
Okay, now, Dr. Slavin, would you say, use a hypothetical individual, a male, 75 years old, on cholesterol medication, on blood pressure medication, and on, let's say, a sleep medication. Is that person a healthy individual, or is that person someone whose health is challenged?
His health is challenged. His numbers
so
are normal.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that person a healthy individual.
No, and they probably don't include them in the study. Now, here's another point that was brought out.
Do they find people who don't take a cholesterol medication and a blood pressure medication that are 75 years old? Because so many people that I see, unfortunately, have been sweet-talked into taking those medications.
But they haven't been given the option or the alternative.
Right.
What's available to perhaps correct the problem without taking a drug. You have to remember that the natural approaches to all these conditions predated the introduction of drugs. The drug companies saw how much money, the potential, how much money you could make by treating all these conditions, so they started coming out with drugs for all these things when there were natural approaches. And the biggest natural approach for a lot of these problems is just weight loss.
Okay, weight loss, hydration, exercise. Yeah. Okay, and under the category of weight loss is a significant intake of quality vegetables. Now, there was announced on one of the news shows from the Environmental Working Group what vegetables you must choose organic because they are so highly contaminated with a variety of chemicals that have significant side effects. And top of the list was spinach. One of the things that I hear on a regular basis, I make a smoothie in the morning and I put spinach and kale in my smoothie. Well, if it isn't organic spinach, you're doing yourself and your health a disservice. Then tomatoes, celery, and there were two more, and unfortunately my memory has given out, and I don't remember them.
Well, picture this. We mentioned earlier they're recalling Losartan because of a contaminant. In a little tiny pill, there's got to be a very tiny amount of contamination. It can't be a lot.
But you're taking it every day, sometimes twice a day.
But my point is, like you were saying, then you, all right, you've got your medications, then you've got the non-organic produce, and it doesn't stop there. Think about the animals you're eating. You want them to be eating organic produce, not the treated, pesticide-treated produce, because then you get a secondary exposure.
Okay, and that's one of the things that I say. For instance, I take a look at some of the commercial multivitamins that people bring in to let me take a look at, and I look at the other ingredients outside of the nutrition supplement information, and I say, here are the chemicals, and sometimes I'm told, well, it's such a small amount. How could it be bad? And I agree with that. It's a tiny amount, but what do you do with a multi? You take it every single day.
I'd like to know how they determined that Losartan was contaminated, because you have to specifically look for a contaminant. In other words, do a specific test. And, you know, did they know they had to look for that? And, you know, I don't know how rocket fuel gets into the formulation of making a medication. And if it doesn't get into the formulation, how did it get into some of the raw ingredients that they were incorporating into the pills?
Because they were using contaminated water is my theory.
Oh. Maybe.
Because sometime during the manufacturing process, any one of those raw materials may have been exposed to water containing that rocket fuel residue.
All right, that makes sense. And now, does that apply across the board to everything?
Don't we get suspicious that, yes, they've identified this in the Losartan, but our romaine lettuce are... anything that is commercially grown, the things that you may be exposed to, the chemicals that you may be exposed to, there is the main chemical, but then there's the potential contamination of that main chemical during its manufacturing process. So imagine a chemical plant that, okay, they are making, let's say, a pesticide. And just prior to making the pesticide, they were making an herbicide. Do you think that there's any potential for cross-contamination? I understand that there may be a lot of safeguards put into place to minimize that cross-contamination, but the potential for it is still there. And like I said about the water contamination, let's think about, all right, here's the manufacturing plant, and they have a certain filtration system for the water used in their manufacturing process. And there, we've talked about this before, Dr. Slavin, that there are certain contaminants in the water that are possibly not filtered out or not filtered out completely or are not even tested for. And so when you think about sources, municipal sources of water, they've got the chlorine, they've got fluoride, and then there's a variety of different microbes, viruses, and bacteria that essentially the chlorine is meant to eliminate, but sometimes there is a very significant issue with those microbes developing a resistance to the chlorine. Maybe sometimes the chlorine is mixed with other chemicals to make it stronger to kill those microbes. And once again, the microbes develop an immunity.
Jen, I just want to expand upon the recall. It's also another drug, amlodipine valsartan combination.
Oh, dear.
Or amlodipine valsartan hydrochlorothiazide combination.
Right.
For the same contaminant. You know, the rocket fuel. But here's what they also say. This particular recall of losartan only affects a specific lot of medication.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not everybody's medication. You have to go check with your pharmacy and see if they can tell you if that's the lot that you have to be concerned about. Now, the amlodipine is made by a different drug company, Teva, and they haven't said what's going on there, but check with the pharmacy if you're taking that drug to see if that's been recalled.
Okay, so the losartan, amlodipine with losartan, and amlodipine losartan hydrochlorothiazide, HCTZ. Now, the lot number wouldn't necessarily be on an individual's pharmaceutical
I don't know, but they should have a record of it.
Well, you'd have to go, most likely you'd have to go to the pharmacy to, they would be able to determine the lot number from their big batch.
It's not that the drugs are carcinogenic. They contain a contaminant in one particular lot. So drugs are fine. Just get a new batch if yours is the one affected.
Okay. Unfortunately, a lot of people buy, months-long supplies and may have been taking it for an extended period of time before this contaminant was identified.
Maybe the next thing to look out for is a class action suit.
Well, there you go. That music means that it's time for us to take a break here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with Dr. Herb Slavin. And when we come back, what I would like to talk about are all of the different approaches that people can use to minimize the possibility that their blood pressure may be too high. Natural approaches without negative side effects. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Are you taking the recommended supplements meant to address specific health issues? If you've not been able to reach your health goals, maybe the supplements don't have the biological activity necessary. Discuss with me, Janet Cimarelli, the specific nutrients for your health issues. Quality supplements and focused nutrient dosages make a world of difference. To achieve your health goals, come to Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Our excellent staff has combined experience well over 100 years. You get the very best supplements at the very best prices. Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center, 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655.
When you support your probiotic status with Best Biotic, you are on the way to overall good health. Your brain benefits with Best Biotic. Your immune system benefits with Best Biotic. Your digestion benefits with Best Biotic. Who doesn't need that kind of broad support for health and well-being? Enhance your health with Best Biotic. You can learn more at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers and find Best Biotic at incredible savings. Call 754-307-1655 for more information.
Welcome back. You are tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin and lots of information for your good health. So you may have heard us speak about the recall of the blood pressure lowering drugs losartan, losartan with amlodipine, and losartan amlodipine HCTZ. Amlodipine HCTZ?
Losartan is a separate drug.
Okay, so the amlodipine, it's not a combination.
Right. The other one, valsartan, amlodipine, and hydrochlorothiazide.
Okay. So what I think we should talk about, Dr. Slavin, are ways to improve blood pressure without exposing yourself to the potential contaminants in some of the pharmaceuticals, but just the everyday pharmaceutical without having any contaminant. A pure pharmaceutical, those come with side effects, and people who are dealing with elevated blood pressure in a dangerously high level, they're at risk for kidney issues.
True. How many people are on blood pressure medicine that don't need it? Because the doctor, they went to the doctor, they're nervous, blood pressure's high, doctor says, oh, you should be on blood pressure medicine. Or they went to the doctor, they weren't given enough time to relax in the office so the blood pressure could settle down. So I'm just saying a lot of people are being overprescribed drugs because they weren't tested appropriately. Or when you do your blood pressure measurement, your arm should be at the level of your heart.
A lot of times if people are taken and their wrist is down below
so
their waist.
So that'll raise your blood pressure. If you use too small a cuff for the size of your arm, that'll raise your blood pressure.
Really? Okay. Very important. All of those.
So there are a lot of
details, yeah.
You know, so that so usually the recommendation was have your blood pressure checked on three separate occasions. If it always comes up elevated, you know, then you could start taking steps. Now, the steps you take are not necessarily drugs, except if you go to a doctor, that's all he knows to do for you is drugs.
Well, you mentioned that an elevated insulin level can be a contributing factor to elevated blood pressure. What is the best thing for an elevated insulin level? Exercise. Exercise makes your cells insulin sensitive rather than having a significant impact on your blood pressure. When you're exercising, you're using the insulin more effectively and your fasting insulin levels will go down. How many people have their fasting insulin levels checked?
Not enough.
But people coming to see you at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, that is a routine test.
And I'll tell you why it's important. A lot of people will come in with a normal fasting blood sugar and even a normal hemoglobin A1C, which is your average blood sugar over a three-month period, and yet their insulin levels will be high. So that person is being missed as far as being warned that they're on the road to diabetes. But more importantly, they're being missed deliberately because the pharmaceutical companies haven't come up with a drug to lower insulin levels.
It's up to us as individuals to lower our insulin levels.
Well, exactly. But think about it. They've come up with a drug to lower your blood pressure. They've come up with drugs to lower your blood sugar. They come up with drugs to lower your cholesterol. So that's why they check those things.
Okay, now, would you say that 50 or even more years ago, the pharmaceutical companies identified the fact that as people age, their cholesterol levels were going to go up and their blood pressure was going to go up, and that in the elderly, there might be different criteria for identifying a negative level?
Well, things have changed. I think what you're saying is correct. In other words, a 75-year-old isn't the same as a 25-year-old.
Thank you.
There are going to be differences. But they found out if you remove those differences, you can sell more drugs. In other words, if you want a 75-year-old to be the same as a 25-year-old, in order to achieve parity, you have to give them more drugs.
Okay, and so unfortunately with some of the older individuals that I see here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, they are on, let's say, three different blood pressure lowering medications. And when they take one away, their blood pressure is too high according to the criteria their physician is using. And okay, so their blood pressure is where their physician would like to see it. It has hit the target, but they don't feel well. They feel very fatigued. They don't have energy, motivation. Their brain chemistry isn't what they are accustomed to. What ideas might they begin to introduce into their routine so that they can have a health-supporting blood pressure, but not necessarily that fatigue?
Well, it comes down to weight loss in most cases. And how do you achieve that? More exercise, cutting back on the carbohydrates. And not only will you lower your blood pressure, you'll lower your blood sugar and insulin levels, of course. You'll lower your cholesterol. The studies have shown that the lifestyle changes I mentioned are more effective than drugs.
Okay, but physicians know that people walking out of their office, if the patient has been told your blood pressure is a little high, they'd much rather have a slip of paper to bring to their pharmacy than to be told 8 servings of vegetables a day, no sugar, and exercise for 30 minutes twice a day. That recommendation is falling on unreceptive ears.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we all have to take personal responsibility for our health. The drugs are not going to get you there.
And that's it. Taking those drugs does not compute or is not equal to making the changes with your diet and lifestyle.
Well, here's exactly what happens. So a patient has very high blood pressure. They put on medication because you should.
And it's a bridge.
Exactly. Because you want to correct that, because with high blood pressure, you're going to damage your heart, damage your kidneys, probably affect your eyesight, run the risk of a hemorrhagic stroke. So you can reduce those risks immediately, you know, by lowering your blood pressure. But over the long term, you want to remove the causes of the high blood pressure, because they are still doing damage in the background, even though you've bypassed the evidence of the damage, namely the high blood pressure, by using a drug.
Okay, now, one of the quarrels that I have, I hear people all the time having been told that salt is going to raise their blood pressure. And I tell people they need a balance of sodium and potassium in order to feel energized and well. And so they've gone on a salt-free diet, but they still eat vegetables. So their potassium is high, but their sodium is low. That has a list of potential negatives as well. What they are not told is sugar. And sugar will raise your blood pressure. Sugar is related to that elevated insulin level.
And inflammation. And it may be the whole mechanism is that having elevated insulin levels causes fluid retention.
Ah.
And the reason for the fluid retention is to dilute the inflammation.
Interesting.
So so that you can see how everything goes together. I see patients because we check inflammatory markers, and they're elevated. And I say, well, your insulin is elevated. That's the connection. You know, cut back on the carbs and lose weight. You'll see the inflammation go away.
Okay, so I just love that connection of fluid retention to damp down inflammation. Okay, so some of the things that are going to increase inflammation. Sugar is the top of my list, and processed, concentrated, starchy carbs. So essentially, what people eat on a regular basis, cereal in the morning, sandwiches at noon, and possibly rice, pasta, or potato with their evening meal. So very important to understand getting rid of those concentrated starchy carbs would
and
be
the
helpful.
Drive-through food establishments.
Oh, my. Uh-huh.
I have a hunch they add a lot of sugar to their products to make them more appealing and to make them more addicting. May not only be psychologically addicting, it may be physically addicting. We've mentioned the studies that have been done showing just how addictive sugar is, so they add it to foods to make them more addicting.
Wow. Okay. So,
But don't you see that? If you read the label, you see sugar in a lot of things.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, it might even be a synthetic sugar that doesn't have calories, so that the label looks appealing from a caloric content view, but the true picture with regard to inflammation and the impact on insulin and ultimately changing inflammation and blood pressure, it's all there. Absolutely. Unfortunately, I don't have the answer to this question, and I'm not sure that you do, Dr. Slavin. Sucralose, aspartame, saccharin, might they change your insulin levels? Because I don't necessarily think that your body's able to identify them as sugars.
I think they've done some studies. Give you an example of the study. Give someone a regular Coke, and then give someone a zero-calorie Coke and measure their sugar and insulin levels. And you would expect from the zero-calorie Coke there would be no movement in the sugar or insulin levels, and yet there are.
Okay.
and they have shown, too, that consuming diet beverages doesn't translate into losing weight either.
I think that it unfortunately translates into weight gain because people think that they can consume those things freely, and unfortunately they do have a negative impact.
I know we're coming up on a break, and I'll introduce this topic since we were talking about drugs earlier, and then we'll talk about it more after the break, perhaps. I don't know if you saw this report, too, about PPIs. You heard of that term, PPIs?
Proton pump inhibitors.
Those
right.
are the drugs you take for GERD.
Right.
You know, you have heartburn,
right.
you take the drug. Been associated with dementia.
Okay. And I've seen a lot of information with regard to gut neurological injury, neurological diagnoses. So
when we come back, we'll talk about safe ways to address GERD.
All right. Sounds like a plan. To our listeners, you're tuned to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin at the Save a Lot Nutrition Center, where you can save a lot of your money. Stay tuned. More to come.
Have you decided to follow a gluten-free lifestyle? So many have found living gluten-free is helpful in reducing gastrointestinal problems, allergic reactions, headaches, joint and muscle pain, and also for shedding those extra pounds. For a selection of gluten-free products at awesome prices, come shop today for your gluten-free pasta, cereals, breads, cookies, baking mixes, and more. Find them all at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. 3105 North State Road 7, Margate, 754-307-1655.
Come to my office at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. I can evaluate your blood work to determine the beneficial activity of your supplements. For comprehensive testing information and personalized recommendations, speak with me, Janet Cimarelli, and get the guidance needed to achieve meaningful results for your personal health issues. 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center is located at 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center in Margate.
And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Dr. Slavin has some recommendations for improving our digestion. Dr. Slavin?
Well, it started off with, you know, just with the report that the drugs you take for GERD to block acid production are associated with increased risk of dementia. So, given that information, you probably would want to find alternatives to taking those drugs. So the first thing to think about is, what about removing the cause of the GERD?
Okay, now see, my experience is overeating. Not even poor combinations, but overeating is a contributing factor.
So, a better way to understand that is, GERD is caused by a weakness in the lower esophageal sphincter. That keeps food from refluxing back into your esophagus. And there are certain foods that can weaken the lower esophageal sphincter.
And I know what those are.
And beverages.
Okay, yes.
Well, alcohol can do it. Caffeine can do it. In other words, coffee. What percentage of the people you come across drink coffee?
Very high.
Right. So one might say that coffee is a frequent cause of GERD.
Okay, but not too many people are willing to give up their morning coffee. And I'm very often told, as I'm doing nutrition counseling, don't touch my morning coffee. Don't tell me I can't have that.
Well, tell them if they keep taking the medication for their reflux, they'll soon forget to take their morning coffee.
There you go. Okay, what's another thing that I should not touch when I'm doing nutrition counseling? Chocolate. Yeah. And people know that just the first bite, and it's an almost instantaneous response that they get spasms in their...
Are we talking about food addictions now?
Whoa, that's pretty harsh to call those addictions.
Well, if you can't give it up, can't give up your coffee, can't give up your chocolate.
Okay, you're right. However...
But think about this. This is the way people think. I'm going to go on harming my body. I'll just take a drug so it blocks the messages my body is giving me that I'm doing something bad.
And that's a critically important point. These are when something is awry and creates a symptom, it isn't that you need a drug to cover up that symptom. It's your body talking to you. What an incredibly fabulous system that our bodies have in order to keep us in a health-supported manner. We're getting signals. This substance hurts you. And yeah.
So that's a painful signal. We mentioned earlier some of the other signals, like your blood pressure is high, or your blood sugar is high, or your cholesterol is high. Those are signals, and we choose to just cover them up with a drug instead of addressing the real cause. We wouldn't treat our cars that badly.
Oh, very important point. Okay, so here at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, a combination that I use to talk to people about lowering their glucose and A1C, Jarrow Formulas Alpha Lipoic Sustain, and Janet's Best Sugar. That combination works wonders. I just had someone in here yesterday who lowered her A1C by 2 points using that combination, and she had just been on the combination for about 6 weeks. Then your blood pressure is high. I mentioned garlic before. Kyolic garlic has a blood pressure formula. In addition, one of the reasons why somebody's blood pressure might be high is inflammation. So the kyolic blood pressure formula, the garlic formula, and a high EPA fish oil. That combination, I think, works wonders. Now, I'm not as fond of lowering cholesterol as I am of lowering triglycerides. And very easy to lower triglycerides. Make an adjustment in your diet if you really are looking for good health, and eliminate those processed, concentrated, starchy carbs that I talked about. But using L-carnitine, and for anyone over the age of 50, use acetyl L-carnitine. You're going to get that breakdown in the triglycerides that I think are contributing so much to inflammation and other problems, and the acetyl L-carnitine is good for your brain. Keeping in mind that people who just take a drug to lower cholesterol, I think that that has a negative effect on brain chemistry. What do you think, Dr. Slater?
Well, definitely. And that effect has been published, the association with amnesia and using statin drugs.
Right. That's Space Doc. He took 2 weeks of Lipitor, woke up one morning and had no idea who he was. So,
but yeah. You know, but that might be a good thing because it also increases your risk of cancer. In fact, lowering cholesterol with statin drugs did not prolong life or save lives. You just died of different things.
Okay, so lowering cholesterol with statin class drugs, a wide range of immune suppressive activity, unfortunately, with those statin drugs.
And blocks the production of CoQ10 in your bodies. That's going to play a role. Now, what we have seen is an increase in congestive heart failure in people, and that could be attributed to so many people taking statin drugs and not replenishing their CoQ10 levels, because a lack of CoQ10 it can be a contributing factor to congestive heart failure.
So there are so many choices at the Institute of Advanced Medicine where the approaches to supporting good health are: begin first with comprehensive testing. You really want to find out what's the underlying issue that you're dealing with, and then you have the choices of the natural substances to overcome that issue. Because, okay, would you say very frequently it is a nutrition deficiency that is a contributing factor? And so, like magnesium, that's connected mm-hmm. to so yep. many different issues, and a magnesium deficiency is readily identifiable but not done typically at a routine blood test.
Right. So what we really do is we're empowering the individual with the information so they can take better care of themselves, because they're not getting that at the average doctor's office. They're just getting prescription drugs without the information they need to make other choices, alternatives to prescription drugs.
Okay, so unfortunately, when people see their physician and certain issue has been identified and there's a pharmaceutical to address it, there is no discussion with, number one, hydration, which plays a very big role both with the blood sugar and with the blood pressure issues. There's no discussion with regard to vegetable intake. And it's really interesting because people talk to me all the time. I eat my fruits and vegetables. And I say, fruits and vegetables are not equal.
Well, if you're alluding to the fact that fruits have lots of sugar And we've said, you know, too much sugar is not a good thing.
And they say, but it's natural sugar.
Right.
It's natural.
But we know better now. And but here's the thing, too. Over the years, the fruits have been bred to be sweeter.
That's true.
So
yes. More addictive. Yes.
Yeah. So it's, you know, if you could eat the fruits that were available hundreds of years ago, it might be a whole different story.
A very different story. So a comprehensive foundation diet includes very high-quality fats. So I would put olive oil on that list. Do you have an opinion about coconut oil?
Well, coconut oil is a good thing. You know, more and more research is out talking about the benefits of coconut oil. So, yeah, olive oil, coconut oil. You want to stay away from the vegetable oils, though.
Yes, you do.
You know, because if they're in their production, they actually create trans fats in vegetable oils, unless you get cold-pressed. I guess cold-pressed is better or not even.
Well, okay, but don't you want the sources to be organic?
Mm-hmm.
If you, yes.
Yeah.
Because certainly the potential contaminants that are in commercially raised sources, corn oil and soy come to mind, that those two are genetically modified and typically may be found in what is a combination vegetable oil. And that music means that we are out of time here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Keep in mind that 8:30 every morning on the Steve Kane Show, you can hear me giving a teeny little health tip. And Dr. Herb Slavin is available Monday through Thursday at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. 954-748-4991 is where you can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine, but not today, starting on Monday. And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. We'll be back next Friday at 10. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in again next Friday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.